We want to continue this morning in our study of 1 Thessalonians. Let's read verses 2, 3, and 4 in the beginning this morning. Paul says to this church, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Let's stop right there. Now, those of you who've been tuned in regular with us, you know that we've already talked about that work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. A faith that would bring forth good works. A love that would cause one to labor in the service of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the love of the brothers, the love of neighbor as self, and that love that would motivate one to live the Christian lifestyle. That work of faith, that labor of love, and that patience of hope. Patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That hope, that faith, that love in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to the words, "in the sight of God and our Father." Now, we've talked about the work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. But then Paul puts in there, "in the sight of God and our Father." As if God's looking on and seeing what he thinks about it. And he does. But you see, God doesn't just look at the outside. You can fool men, but you don't fool God. God looks at the heart. He knows the motives. He knows if that's real faith, or if that work is motivated by faith and belief in God and wanting to serve him. Or if that's love that's motivating, or not some ulterior motive, or if you are patiently on the inside, hoping and waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God, who sees the heart and knows the motive, the Bible speaks of unfeigned faith. If something's feigned, it's faked. It's not real. It's a put-on. 1 Timothy 1 and 5. "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Faith that's real, and God sees the heart and knows that. We have the God looking at the heart and checking on the love, too, in the sight of God and our Father. Is that real love? Is love the motivation? You know, Romans 12 and 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation." That dissimulation is a long, fancy word, but it means hypocrisy. It means something that's not real, something that's a put-on or a fake or for some other reason. Let your love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Let your faith not be fake, but let it be real, not feigned, but unfeigned faith. Hope. Hope that's sure and steadfast. Hebrews 6 and 19, "which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Now that's a sure and steadfast anchor, if it's sure and steadfast. Hope. So these things may not be real, or they may be real, and that brings up a question. That this work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, is it real or is it not? And how can we know? Well, the next verse, Paul says, "knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Paul looking at these people and cautioning them to continue this work of faith and encouraging them to continue in their labor of love and their patience of hope and that God is looking on. But Paul says, "I'm looking on too, and I know something. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." That's an important verse. It's a verse that's important to all of us. It's a verse that's important to understanding scriptures. It's a verse that's important as far as understanding whether you've been born again, whether you're a child of God, whether this is real in you. Or, you know, we all can have our moments of doubt and wondering and speculate on whether we've been elected of God. Let's start with that one right there. Most people don't want to think about that, but that's where it all starts. Salvation is of the Lord, and it began before the foundation of the world when God chose a people to be his people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 is quoted, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace." It's his good will, it's his purpose and grace, whereby he chooses before the foundation of the world, chose before the foundation of the world, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world and predetermined our destiny that we'd be adopted as children. A God who chose his people. And some say that we have to choose God, my friends. If God's waiting on fallen sinners to choose him, sinners that the Bible describes, that Jesus declares, you, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And where Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. And where Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Do you think that man will come if it's all foolishness to him? Do you think he can come when Jesus says he can't? Do you think he will come when Jesus says he won't? My friends, God has to do the initiating in this thing. God has to first come. We love him because he first loved us. We didn't choose him, Jesus said in John 15, but he chose us. You don't choose to come to God. God chooses you and puts himself in you, and then you come to God. But your coming to God is evidence that he has drawn you. If you do believe, then faith is a fruit of the Spirit. If you have love, then love is a fruit of the Spirit. If you have hope, then hope comes from God. These are things that are evidences to you so you can know. Paul looked upon them and he said, I know. Knowing your election. Paul knew their election. How did he know their election? Well, he saw a work of faith. He saw a labor of love. He saw a patience of hope. If we skipped on down to verse 5, for our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Paul was assured by their response to the gospel. They didn't think it was foolishness. They didn't throw rocks at him like some folks did. They didn't run him out of town like some folks do. The unregenerate, unborn again, it's foolishness, and they'll rebel against it, and they hate it. The carnal mind is at enmity to God, and the natural man is a hater of God. You'll find that in Romans 8 and 7, and in Romans 1 and 30. And you'll find there's no fear of God before the eyes of a natural man. You'll find that in Romans chapter 3, about verse 19. Those kind of folks who haven't been born again, they'll run Paul out of town on a rail. The kind of folks that have been born again and hear the gospel, it's not foolishness to them. It's the power and wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, to the Jews it's foolishness, and to the Greeks it's foolishness, and to the Jews it's a stumbling block, but to those who've been called, those who've been drawn to God by God, those who've been born again, those who've been called by that voice of Jesus, where he speaks, and you shall hear and shall live, and where the dead in trespasses and sins are quickened to life. You, those who have been called, to them it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. What? The gospel. It's not foolishness. But it's the power of God to save a sinner like me. It's the wisdom of God to develop such a plan where before the foundation of the world he knew all the details, and he sent Christ to take care of the legal problems, and he sends the Holy Spirit to give the life, and it's all of God, and praise God for it. But if you can see the evidence of that life in an individual, in a church, in people in a church, Paul, you like Paul, can at that point know. He knew. He knew that they had been elected of God because they could show the evidence. Acts chapter 13, verse 48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Who believes the message of the gospel? Those who are ordained to eternal life. Those who were chosen before the foundation of the world. Those who are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those whom God is working a work in their heart and moving a spirit into them that gives them new life, makes them a new creature with new abilities. Those that God comes into and does such things as the fruit of the Spirit would cause to happen. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That is, faith is not what brings the Spirit into you. Faith is a result of the Spirit having come into you. You see, the Spirit comes in, the wind blows where it pleases, and so it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. That wind, that Spirit moves into your heart, and except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom, and he can't enter into the kingdom, but the Spirit comes in, and then you can come. No man can come. Except he be drawn, but once you've been drawn, then you can come unto Jesus and find rest. There's a time to come, but the time to come is after God comes into you. You see, let's get this thing in order and figure out who makes you to differ from another, as Paul asked the church at Corinth. And what do you have that you didn't receive? Well, if it's all been given to you, then praise God for it. And don't share that praise with somebody else that might have preached you the message. It's important to preach the message, and I want to preach the message, but I don't give the life. I give the enlightenment as a gospel minister. I can bring peace to your heart if you've been born again. Now, those that haven't been born again might hear me preach and say, that's foolishness. But those who have been born again might hear that gospel message, and they might say, wow, that's a great message. That's the power and wisdom of God to save sinners. That's God's plan of salvation. It's a glorious thing. Yes, Paul looked at them and he said, I know that you've been elected of God, that you were elected of God. I know your election of God. Election is in the Bible. Whether you like to think about it or not, lots of folks wish that wasn't in there. My friends, if election wasn't a part of salvation, there'd be no salvation. If Jesus had come and died and sitting there waiting in heaven now for somebody to come to him, if the Holy Spirit's just jerking at the chain trying, but he can't get loose until you let him in. And if you're sitting here in a natural body where it's all foolishness to that natural way of thinking, and Jesus has said, no man can come, and he will not come. And if he's sitting up there waiting for you to come, and the Bible says you can't and won't come, well, that's a catch-22, isn't it? That's an unwinnable proposition. No, it's of God. Salvation is. It's all of God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a gift of God. Jesus is the author of that faith. Jesus comes into your heart and gives you the faith. Faith, that fruit of the Spirit, is not of you, it's of God. So you don't conjure up some kind of faith in order to invite God in. God comes in and gives you the faith, and then you invite God into your life, and then you can start following God. But you see, God gives the new birth first to whom he chooses. And he chose whom to give it to before the foundation of the world. And if he hadn't chosen particular ones to give it to, if he's just waiting for somebody at random to come to him, then nobody ever going to get to heaven under that plan. But under God's plan, there's from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven a countless number of people. We're not talking about a few that got chosen. We're not talking about a few that Jesus died for. We're not talking about a few that the Holy Spirit comes and finds. We're not talking about a few that's going to be in heaven. We're talking about a bigger number, I believe, than any other doctrine can give you. How many folks does this gospel get to? Some estimate 10% of the world's population. And probably that 10% hadn't heard a true gospel, a message that's really from the Bible. Somebody tells them about a man named Jesus. And how much do you have to know of the truth? But you don't have to know any of the truth to get to heaven. The gospel's not how you get to heaven. The gospel's how you understand how God's getting you to heaven. In the gospel, there's peace, not life. In the gospel, there's enlightenment, not the giving of life. Jesus gives the life and immortality, and it comes to light to your understanding through the gospel. That's the preacher's message, to give the knowledge of your salvation to you, so that you might be assured that you're going to heaven. That's what the gospel does. Oh, yes, the Bible does talk about the elect. Romans chapter 9, a chapter that's not talked about a whole lot. Speaking of two boys born to Rebekah and Isaac. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Romans 9 and 11. For the children being not yet born, before their birth, even before the foundation of the world, I might add. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. They weren't chosen according to which one would be good and which one wouldn't. Matter of fact, Jacob wasn't a very good person. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It's the purpose of God, and only from the purpose of God, by his purpose and grace, is salvation. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him, of God that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Listen to this, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What will the world say to that, it says next? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God didn't owe anybody salvation. God didn't have to save anybody. God chose to save a vast host, and that's to the praise of the glory of his grace that he chose anybody to save. That he would send his son into this world to die for any sinner is glorious to God. So it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, it continues here in Romans 9, but it's of God that showeth mercy. And you might say, well, that just applied back there to those two boys. He's talking about something in their life right then. Let's skip on down. This is what he's leading up to. Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? God doesn't fit us to destruction. Our nature as a fallen sinner fits us to destruction. Our being a rebel to God fits us to destruction. Our being sinners fits us to be destroyed and punished forever. But God will make his power known, and his show his wrath against sin, and he endures for all these centuries. The evil people in this world endures with much long suffering the vessels of wrath. That's those evil people that God's angry at. They're fitted to destruction. And then listen to the contrary of that. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Vessels that will receive his wrath, that's people that will receive his wrath. Vessels that will receive his mercy, that's people that will receive his mercy. It's according to election this passage is teaching. It's according to whom God chose the passage is teaching. And that he may make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto the glory. Way back before the beginning of time, he prepared this plan where he predestined and elected a people that he might show mercy to those people, and he bypassed others that deserve to burn in hell. We all deserve to burn in hell, and God's not wrong. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Is God as a righteous judge wrong to punish sin? God forbid. God did punish the sins of the elect in Jesus Christ. And Jesus paid for those sins, and Jesus suffered in their place, and Jesus gave them his righteousness and cleansed them from their unrighteousness, and God is satisfied with that work of Jesus Christ, and he saves his people from their sins, and every one that God gave to him before the foundation of the world, the covenant of grace, Jesus will have with him at the end of time. But it all starts with election. Back to Romans chapter 9, we read verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us. Paul said, even us. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, Paul said. I'm not just talking about us. When I say us, I'm not just talking about the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Who's the us? It's the chosen, the elect of God. Paul looked upon these folks here at Thessalonica, and he said, I know that you're the elect of God. I can see evidence in you that you're the elect of God. I can see in that love, in that labor of love, that you're the elect of God. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. What's that say? That's an awesome verse. Let's slow down and get that one. Paul knew they were the elect of God. Paul had just said they were laboring in their love for God and their love for others. Let's read what 1 John 4:7 says about that again. Beloved, let us love one another. What about somebody that loves one another? What about somebody that loves one another? Let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is from God. If you love somebody else, if you love with an unfeigned love, if you love with that kind of love that's real love, if you love without dissimulation, as it says in Romans, without hypocrisy, if you really are willing to sacrifice your time, your effort, your money, your help for somebody else, that love is from God, that kind of sacrificial love. Let us love one another. That's the command. What this love originates from God, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. You don't love and get born of God. Love is not the source of the being born of God. The being born of God is the source of the love. Love is from God, and love is from the new birth. So, flip that around now and think about it logically. Think reasonably. Come, let us reason together, the scriptures say. If love is from God, and if one born of God has this love within him as a fruit of the Spirit at that point, then one that shows that love, one that does love somebody else, one that lives his life for the labor of love, that's proof that he has the love of God in him that was given to him at the new birth. For everyone that loveth is born of God, already born of God, and that love is from God. So then if you see somebody that is loving with that kind of love, and it's not some kind of fake thing, it's the way they live their life, that they're working to love God, they have a labor of love. Well, Paul looked at those folks and he said, I know you're the elect of God, because I can see the evidence that God's in you. And if God's in you, he chose to come in you. And if he chose to come in you, he chose before the foundation of the world to have you as his child. So I know you're the elect of God. That's what Paul said about it. Paul said, I know you're the elect of God because you're doing righteous. You're doing something to serve the Lord. The work of faith and labor of love, that work and that labor, where does that come from? Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. What's the source of that want to do righteousness? There's none that doeth good, no, not one, speaking of the unregenerate, the unborn again, the natural man. But all of a sudden you've got somebody that's doing good. Why does one do good and another not do good? Why does one choose to live his life in a labor of love and a work of faith, and somebody else couldn't give you 10 cents, and as a matter of fact, scoff and mock at such a thing? make fun of that person who wastes his Sundays going to church and wastes his money giving to the poor and wastes his time helping others. And why don't you live for yourself, man? You gotta watch out for yourself. Nobody else is going to watch out for you. That's the attitude of the world, but the attitude of somebody who's been born again is they want to do something to serve God. You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. You don't do the righteousness in order to get born of God. If you do the righteousness, you're already born of God. Whoever does the righteousness is born of God. Whoever loves with this labor of love is born of God. Whoever has this want to work for the Lord and to labor in these causes is born of God. What about that? What about that work of faith? What about the faith? 1 John, let's go there again. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That faith to believe that Jesus is the Christ is from the new birth. Faith is a fruit of that spirit that comes in at the new birth. Again, don't get the cart before the horse, my friends. It really matters because you give the Holy Spirit glory for giving you the faith if you'll get the things in the right order. The Holy Spirit comes in and He gives you the faith. And then you act upon that faith, and according to the influence that Holy Spirit puts within you at the new birth, then you start a work of faith. And you want to do righteousness, and everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. And everyone that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And so you see, the born of God is the first part, and then you start doing all these other things, and thinking all these other ways, and believing all these things, and loving in this Christian way of loving, in this Jesus way of loving. So, if you have the labor of love and the work of faith, that work and labor, that's the doing righteousness, and that means you are born of God. If you have the love, that means you are born of God. If you believe in Jesus and have this faith in Him, that means you are born of God. What about the hope? 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. If you have the patience of hope, if you have the understanding to know that Jesus is coming back and you believe that and you hang your life on that and you put your patience in that and you're patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord, no matter how bad it gets in this world, you can still say, my Lord's coming and it's going to get better. If you have that kind of attitude, that is a good hope that you have through grace. God has given you that, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. God gives you the faith. Faith's the fruit of the Spirit. God lets you hear the gospel. That's the message of salvation, that Jesus is coming back, that good news. That faith grabs a hold of that message and gives you good hope. And through His grace, God gives you that good hope. And you see, if you have that hope and don't think all that's foolishness, what are the scoffers saying? According to Peter, in the last days, the scoffers are saying, well, yeah, you've been talking about Him coming all these centuries. Where is He? Where is the promise of His coming? God says of that, just ignore that kind of thinking, because He's coming. And with Him, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. But if a day is just 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day, then Jesus hadn't been gone but a couple of days. In the way of His keeping time, well, that wouldn't be too long to leave, just a couple of days, if He's coming back in a couple of days, or maybe 3 days, or maybe 2.5 days, or maybe He'll come back tomorrow in our way of thinking. The good hope is a gift of God by His grace given to you. The faith is a gift of God by His grace given to you. The love is a gift of God by His grace given to you. But you look around and you find anybody that's got those things. If you find somebody that has that faith, if you find somebody that, and it's not faked faith, it's real faith. If you have somebody who really loves, and you can see folks like that, it'll show by their fruit you'll know them, the scriptures say. And you can examine yourselves too, my friends. And if you begin to doubt whether your faith was good enough, your faith is not what's going to get you to heaven. Your faith is what's going to help you serve God while you're right here. And that faith will come and go, and it'll be weak at times, and sometimes Jesus looked at those apostles and said, oh, ye have little faith, and one time, oh, ye have no faith. But if they had died right then, they were still gone to heaven, because faith is not what gets you into heaven. Faith is what gives you comfort and peace while you're here. Love is what helps you to get through life serving Jesus and feel the comfort and the consolation that can come from that. Hope is, that patience of hope will help you get through the days of trouble so that you can make your calling and election sure, as Peter told us. How do you make it sure? It's not making it sure to God. God knows. You want to make it sure to yourself by adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and climb that ladder of getting closer and closer to God. And that's how you can make your election sure to yourself and to those that are around you and observe you. And Paul observed this church at Thessalonica. and saw that what he had taught them, they were taking it and running with him. And that's evidence that they were the elect of God. There were some at Thessalonica that ran Paul off and then chased him to the next town and caught up with him there and ran him off from there too. That's not the ones he's writing to. He didn't see any evidence of their being the elect of God. But these, this church that are still holding on, God, Paul writes to them and said, I know you're the elect of God. What a consolation to know you're chosen of God. And to know if you're chosen of God, you're going to be with God someday. My friends, if you have faith that lets you know that Jesus is the Christ, that comes from God. If you have a love for others where you want to help, that comes from God. These are evidences. These are not what get you to heaven. These are evidences you've already been born again and going to go to heaven. But my friends, it's nice to know your election of God. But you can know those things and you can be assured of those things by the evidence that you have that the Spirit's leading you in those kind of paths. God bless you, and I hope you'll join us next time.